Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This educational offering is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. So that final hymn of the order of worship is the opening hymn of the congregational meeting. And we sang about that city of God coming down out of heaven. That's the scripture reading we will begin with today as well. After literally everything in creation has been undone, God's endless creativity restores and reveals the purpose of the creation all along. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.'" Let us pray. God of hope, you come to dwell among us in Jesus Christ, whose presence is before and beyond all things. Form us, your church, so we can point to your loving presence in the world, always and everywhere, beginning now in this time of worship and service and here in this community. Amen. A quorum of the congregation is 10% of the membership. That is 10% of 144 members, which means at least 15 of you need to stay all the way through until the end of the meeting. There is a quorum present. We conduct our meetings in accord with Robert's Rules of Order. We handle those rules fairly loosely so that we are also able to converse and interact with each other without having to worry about whether we've done each little thing just precisely so. The docket is on page 3 of the annual report booklet. If you don't have a booklet and you don't have your electronic device with you, raise your hand and Paul will run one over to you. In the annual reports, as they were distributed as a draft last week, the property report was not yet in the annual report. So there is a page 39, and if you have a report that you're picking up right now today, or you're looking at it electronically, that should be part of the electronic file that you have. The elders serving on session, I would like to introduce to you. After the conclusion of the corporation meeting, they will highlight the committee reports. So I want to introduce, first, Marilee Myers is our clerk of session. So she's not immediately in the front row, but she's here. Stacy New is our liaison to stewardship and finance. Caitlin McClintock is our youth elder this year, and she is our liaison to the Memorial Committee. Wes Schieber is our liaison to the Shepherds and the Fellowship Committee. Mark Hilliard is our liaison to Mission in Action. Deb Kellogg is not able to be with us this morning. She is our liaison to CPW, the Personnel Committee, and Christian Education. Anne McGowan is our liaison to worship and music, and Joe Chance is our liaison to the property committee. Also, unfortunately, not with us today is Jean Castor. She is not a current member of session, but she is our ongoing presbytery commissioner. So she represents us at presbytery meetings in the work of discerning God's purpose at that larger level of the church. The election of elders to rotate into new terms on the session will be held at the annual congregational election meeting. We separate those two pieces of business. So the election meeting typically takes place in February. We will announce that date as soon as we are ready to announce it. The nominating committee is at work right now. Not right now. Right now we're having the annual congregational business meeting. The minutes of last year's annual meeting are page 4 in your annual report packet. Those were approved by session last year following the congregational meeting, and they are presented for your information. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to suspend the congregational meeting and move into the meeting of the corporation. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Opposed say no. We are now in order as the corporation, so we operate as a church body under Presbyterian rules and structures. We also operate as a corporation in the state of Iowa under corporate rules and structures. And our corporation president, Craig Johnson, is not able to be with us this morning, so I'll continue moderating this portion of the meeting here. And the business of our corporation is to receive the financial reports. And the financial reports begin with the narrative version of the faith budget on page 7, and the more conventional line item financial reports begin with the 2020 faith budget on page 9, and then the balance sheets and income and expense reports beginning on page 10. Our treasurer is Sue Bueller, who has been serving in that role since early in 2019. I want to begin with a statement of gratitude for Sue serving in that role, and a statement of gratitude to Perry Van Tassel, who began the year as our treasurer and has been instrumental in the transition process. There's a new, completely new thing to do that only ever happens once a year, just about every month, sometimes every week, in the treasurer's role, which means there's a lot of learning curve. And so we are grateful for Perry's continued work to make sure that that transition goes smoothly, and I would invite a round of applause to Sue Bueller for her work stepping into that treasurer's role. The financial reports are the first item for us to receive as the corporation. So I would entertain a motion to approve the statement of 2019 revenues and expenditures as that is presented to you. That has been moved and seconded, and I would welcome any discussion on the 2019 statement of revenues and expenditures. Elizabeth. That is in your annual report. Any other discussion on the statement of revenues and expenditures? All in favor of approving those, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no. They are approved. And we have the capital fund report that begins on page 13 of your packet. That's the other item that is proper to the corporation meeting, rather. I would entertain a motion to approve the capital fund report. Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the capital fund report? All in favor of approval, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no. That is also approved. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn the corporation meeting and return to the meeting of the congregation. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. The corporation meeting is adjourned, and we are back in order as just a regular congregation. The reports, as they were distributed in the annual report, begin with the pastor's report on page 5. So I want to just highlight a few things from 2019 as I saw it and look forward to 2020. 2019 saw the completion and the dedication of the memorial courtyard that you can see under the snow through that little tiny window on the corner of the sanctuary. And with great gratitude to all who were involved in the organization and the decision-making about the courtyard, and to everyone who contributed to making that project a success. Thank you so much. We are continuing to grow more fully into our values like fellowship and generosity and growing in faith. We are becoming more the church knit together as we serve here. And we are continuing to connect mission with stewardship as a spiritual practice. So the ways that we participate in God's mission through the church are ways that we are also participating in what God is doing in our very own lives. And so I'm grateful for the ways that we continue to grow into the connections between mission and stewardship and spirituality. And I look forward to the ways that we're going to continue to grow into mission and stewardship and spirituality in hands-on partnerships with our neighbors. We are looking forward in 2020 to another delegation to visit our neighbors in San Ysidro. We are searching and discerning new relational partnerships with our neighbors, both locally and nationally. And as we do that, we are also working to maintain that spiritual focus. As that passage from Revelation points out, the city of God is not just a set of sort of physical structures and relationships, but the city of God is actually a context for knowing that God is present with us, for knowing who God is as God is present with us. And so as we continue to grow in these relational ways and these ways of partnership with our neighbors, I pray that we are also going to recognize more and more where God is already active in our world. That concludes my report as the pastor. And I call your attention to the 2019 report of the session. That's on page 16 of your packet. We sort of compromised between keeping everything in order so all you have to do is turn pages in your packet and putting a few of the things up toward the front so they would be easier to find prior to the meeting. So my apologies for the large page turn there. The 2019 report of session lists those who were added to the roles, removed from the roles, and those who have passed away. And our current membership stands at 144. I would like to invite Stacy New to come forward to present on the finance committee. That is a newly reconstituted committee, and their report is on page 18.
We just started meeting again in June, and so this group is a very, very active, energetic group, and I can't thank them enough for all that they do for this committee. Many of them are on the committee because they have extra financial responsibilities in the congregation already. And so there's just a brief synopsis in there. I'm not going to read that to you about what they're starting to accomplish, and start is the key word. Our agenda for future meetings keeps getting longer and longer and longer. So I just want to give a huge thank you for all of their expertise on that committee, and I cannot echo enough what Pastor Nathan said about Perry's role and Sue's role. That takes hours and hours to prepare for us every month, and we just really appreciate all their expertise. If you have any questions, I can have Paul help you answer them.
Any questions for Stacy? Thank you. We turn then to the Memorial Committee. The written portion of the Memorial Committee's report is the fund activity report on page 15 of your packet, and I welcome Caitlin McClintock to speak to that.
The Memorial Committee is made up of about three people, Julia Severt, Deb Hayes, and Bob Huddle, and I'd like to give a thank you to them because for their hard work on getting the memorial courtyard set up and all put together. They've decided that all the plaques that will be in the memorial courtyard, they will fund with the memorial funds. They get their funds when a member of the congregation dies, and they are given by people who are related to and sometimes friends of the people who have died. And thank you to them for their contributions. Any questions?
Thank you, Caitlin. There is a report from Gene Castor, our Presbytery Commissioner, on page 19 of the annual report. I call your attention particularly to the staffing transition that the Presbytery is moving through at the November meeting. The Des Moines Presbytery joined the Prospect Hill Presbytery and the North Central Iowa Presbytery to approve a plan where these three presbyteries together will employ a staff of five people serving all three presbyteries. So that the executive work of each individual on that staff can be more focused on mission and on administration and on pastoral care for the presbyteries and their churches, so that the executive so that each presbytery doesn't have to find a generalist executive who is fairly good at some of the parts of the job and perhaps less so at other parts of the job and maybe excellent over here. We can actually have people who specialize in the various parts of that executive structure. So that is a change that the presbytery will be undergoing. That's a staffing change, not a change to the structure of the presbyteries. So each presbytery will continue to be autonomous, independent in all of the ways that we have, but with shared staffing. And as part of that transition, the Presbytery Budget and Finance Committee recommended and Presbytery approved keeping the per capita apportionment at the same level it was in 2019. And so the Presbytery will be using some reserve funds as part of this staffing transition, but trying to keep the immediate burden on congregations steady as they move through. So please feel free to talk to Jean when she returns about life in the presbytery. In the meantime, you're certainly welcome to talk to me. And because Amgad is here, he knows what he's going to be talking about over lunch. Paul.
I just wanted to make one comment about the presbytery. There's a fund there called the Living Legacy Fund that has substantial funds in it that's there from the sale of churches that have closed, from the sale of property. And it's a fund that should be available to help churches
in their mission and help those churches that are struggling if they need repairs to their property or whatever. And I would like to, just whisper his ear a little bit, that I would encourage the presbytery to accelerate the use of that fund. It was studied and put in place probably 3 years ago, and its implementation has been slower than I would have expected. So I'd just like to hear.
So the presbytery does have a fund called the Living Legacy Fund that has collected some of the funds from, among other things, the closure of churches and the sale of their properties. Paul encourages the prompt use of those funds by the presbytery for meeting capital needs of local congregations and forwarding the ministries of those congregations. I will also, on behalf of Presbytery, say thank you to Dick Prophet, who is the current chair of the Living Legacy Committee. And I'll just kind of point out, Covenant, y'all do a good job of staffing Presbytery. We have Presbytery Committee members and chairs sitting among us every Sunday. I'm going to shout some of them that I can make sure that I get. Perry is the chair of the Stewardship and Mission Interpretation Committee, on which I also serve. Dick is the chair of the Living Legacy Committee. Nancy Prophet and Ann McGowan both serve on the Presbytery Worship Committee that plans worship services at Presbytery meetings. Ann is the chair of that committee. Laura Schieber is on the Camping and Youth Ministries Task Force. Is there anybody I'm missing? Because I probably am. And that's in addition to those of you who serve on things like the Our Sister Parish Committee, the Cross Outreach Board, many other ways of being involved in the ministry and the mission of Presbytery. So you are pretty involved in this Presbytery thing. Next, I'd like to invite Wes Schieber to speak to us about Shepherds, that's on page 20, and Fellowship on page 21.
So when I think about the Shepherds and the Fellowship Committee, it's two groups that are often, that help us out in times when we celebrate different things, but then it's also times that are sometimes difficult or harder times. These are two groups that are very caring. They're very efficient and extremely organized. Often they are so well organized, it makes things look like they're running like clockwork. And I think sometimes these two groups don't get enough recognition and they're not always in that spotlight and seen by all. So I'd like to welcome you to read the reports submitted by these two groups. There's so much that they do daily, weekly, monthly. And the next time that you see one of these members, make sure to say thank you and that you appreciate what they do for us. Any questions?
Thank you. Next, we have Mark Hilliard from Mission in Action on page 23.
Okay. I want to thank everyone that's involved in the Mission in Action Committee and Lisa Albers, who chairs that committee. We had a good year in 2019. It probably wasn't as exciting as 2018 because we didn't have that great mission festival that Bob Hittle organized, but we did make some much needed changes. If you read over the report, you can see our highlights. I'd like to point out one was something that the committee wanted to do for a long time, which was kind of simplify the way we did things. Before, we had always met at the end of each year and distributed the funds to our organizations that we supported. After much consideration, we've decided that it would be better for us and the people that we support if we did that more throughout the calendar year. So after we made some decisions, we decided that we would do quarterly distributions, and I think that's going to simplify things and make sure that our money gets to those organizations throughout the year, not just in one lump sum. Another thing we did was we organize the budget lines. So it's going to make that a lot easier. Over the years, it looked like things got added, budget lines got added, and it just made things more complex. So there's new budget lines for our local and our international and our national people that we support. Like Reverend Nathan was speaking of, the Mission Action Committee is looking to always maintain a balance between the people that we support, whether it's locally, nationally, or internationally. And the committee met a couple times and discussed on finding those local organizations that we support, make sure that we're really meeting the needs of our community here and maintaining that balance. So if people ever have ideas and they want to bring it to the Mission Action Committee for local mission projects, we would love to hear about those. So also under the Mission in Action is the Associated Christo organization and also the Faith Grace Gardens. And there's reports submitted by those organizations as well. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks.
And next, Ann McGowan will be stepping into Deb Kellogg's place, and then she will step into her own place. So the CPW report is on page 28. Personnel is on page 30. I invite you to give your attention to each of those. Ann will also speak to us about Christian education, which is reported on page 33, and then she'll speak to worship and music. Go ahead and do Christian Ed and then worship and music.
Okay. As Nathan said, Deb couldn't be here, so she left me her notes to highlight for Christian education. This year they changed the name of the evening programming. It used to be Covenant Connections, and now it's called Covenant Kids. We've been blessed this year to have a consistent group of adults that volunteer every Wednesday evening. And one highlight, if you look in your report, in 2014 we started with 13 children, and over the years, over 6 years, we are now up to 40 children that participate on Wednesday evenings. On Wednesday nights during the school year, the youth alternate between social activities and volunteer activities. Total youth registered for youth group in 2019 was 15. And for the first time in many years, the youth group took a mission trip, a summer mission trip, that they reported here at worship one Sunday, and it was very interesting. 8 youth and 3 adults traveled to Omaha in July. That's what I was speaking of. This mission work was done in the inner city with a focus on helping those living in poverty and or homelessness. The trip was an emotional and rewarding journey for all that got to experience it. The youth are looking forward to traveling together again in the summer of 2021. Vacation Bible School was held the first week in June. We experienced a burst of increase in registration, 62 children. 41 had registered in 2015 and 62 this year. Bible School Planning Committee partnered with our youth group to choose the mission project to be the raising funds and acquiring donations of toiletry items. The youth group mission trip then took these items on their mission trip and donated to an Omaha shelter. We had a youth yard party, fall party and Christmas party, Easter egg hunt. Confirmation class runs every other year. 5 seventh and eighth grade students started the class in the fall of 2019 and will be confirmed this spring. We had a children's Christmas program. And for adult education, our contemporary issues class is taught every Sunday at 9 by Reverend Nathan. Bible study is taught on Sunday mornings in a different room. CPW offered both morning and evening circle groups that meet monthly. And the men's breakfast group meets monthly with studies. And we give many thanks to Laura Schieber for her work with the youth and the children. Many of us come on Sunday morning and we experience worship without thinking of all it takes to put this on. The worship committee works closely with Reverend Nathan to make sure everything, as Wes said, runs like clockwork. The worship committee recruits ushers and greeters. They're always and lay leaders. They're always looking for more. If you have any interest in helping in those positions, please contact Mary Marshall, who's the chair of worship, or any of the members listed in the report. The worship committee oversees the music, Williams and the chancel choir, Heather and the bell choir, and they are always welcoming new members if anyone would be interested in joining those groups. Worship is in charge of the flowers, particularly at Easter and Christmas, but also Mary brings her beautiful flowers in the summer. They put up the banners at different seasons of the church. We have communion the first Sunday of each month, and so the worship committee arranges for elders to serve, and Paul prepares. And one of those things we probably don't think about, but I assume he cleans it up afterwards. Oh, good. Yeah, I'm sure she does. And I forgot to mention, we have special music, especially the 515 Quartet, or Quartet 515, which is it, William? Okay, Quartet 515. We love to have them for special music. Let's see. Our average attendance was 85 last year. And I think that's all. Do you have any questions for worship? Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. I'll call your attention to the staff reports that began with that Christian Ed report on page 33 and continue through page 38. And then I would invite Joe Chance to come and speak to property, which is on page 39. And remember, if your packet doesn't have page 39, it exists now on the website or in the hard copy packets, so slide over and look on with somebody.
All right. This is my first year in session, so a lot to learn. I've learned a lot. I started coming here 7 years ago, and as I've learned a bunch through the years, but as far as the property goes, the committee, I think it's easy to walk in here and just think, I mean, you don't think about anything. It just, the property looks great, it's taken care of, it's maintained, and that's because of the property committee. There's quite a few people on that group. Everything you see outside, basically everything you see inside, and all the mechanicals that are hidden to keep this place warm, to keep it cool, a tremendous amount of stuff. Last year, a few things that were changed or upgraded, Wi-Fi. They upgraded the Wi-Fi system throughout the building. As technology goes along, that was time to make the connectivity better. Of course, they completed the Memorial Garden. That was a huge thing. We did change cleaning services to a different provider. Little things, you know, I probably noticed the parking lot was painted again, the lines, which I like, because I don't park very well. so yeah, just lots of things that go on that we don't even realize, and I'm just learning about all that stuff. So thank you to the property committee for what we see. It's great. And there's always lots of work they have to do. Any questions?
Thank you, Joe. I would turn your attention now to the the stewardship committee report. There is a narrative budget on page 7 and the line item budget on page 9. And then the written stewardship campaign recap is on page 17 of your annual meeting packet. The narrative budget on page 7 is an attempt to communicate to those of you for whom a line item budget with just rows of titles and numbers is not like a warm blanket around your shoulders. To give you a sense of not only what, you know, from a management standpoint, where we direct the money that is part of the church budget, but really what we accomplish with that. And so all of the money in that line item budget should be reflected in the narrative budget as a way of saying, here's what's actually accomplished with those staff salaries, with that investment in the building, with these program funds, with those mission funds that are given to outside organizations. So I invite you to sit with that, particularly if you are not one of those line item budget people. There should be nothing hidden. Those should agree with each other, but they're two different ways of looking at the same thing. The 2020 pledge campaign took place last fall, and you can see that we received 60 total pledges, which is down in total from the 2019 pledge campaign. And some of those missing pledges are from people that we would otherwise anticipate to be continuous givers, people with strong giving histories who had previously pledged and for whatever reason did not this year. If that was just an oversight, feel free to go ahead and still pledge. If there's something that you need to talk to me or a member of session about in order to feel comfortable pledging, please don't hesitate to do that, because we understand that making that pledge can be one of those moments when you say, oh, this is actually something I need to talk to somebody about. We'd love to talk to you about that. Whether that turns into renewing that pledge for this year, renewing at a different level for this year, or not renewing for this year, we want to be there and connected with you. If you have pledged and you want to simplify your life and simplify our life as well, please talk to us about giving monthly with an electronic transfer from your bank account to ours. And we would be happy to help you get that set up, and then that's one more thing you don't have to think about. It just happens. So please feel free to talk to us about that as well. Any questions or comments on the stewardship narrative budget, line item budget, or the stewardship campaign recap? All right, I would invite Paul Hayes to come forward with the report from the Personnel Committee. The report is on page 30 of the annual report, and then the pastor's terms of call follow that on page 31. And I'll step out of the room for that portion of the conversation, but first invite Paul to highlight anything from the Personnel Committee report.
During this past year, we've started the process of reconstituting the Personnel Committee. I think for a couple of years earlier, the activity of the Personnel Committee kind of declined. We had one year when there actually weren't staff evaluations performed, which should never happen. But so we've renewed that process. And We've had quarterly meetings with Rev. Nathan. One of the things that is going to change is that we're moving the evaluation process to coincide more with the kind of our program year, the more of the school year, so that those will be done in the early summer, and then but compensation will remain with the budget year. But that'll also the program year will coincide also with planning and goal setting for the staff. For the 2020, we'll continue to have quarterly meetings. We need a review of our personnel policies, and we need some additional members that have an interest in policy, and particularly if you have some human resources background, that would be really helpful. But we just need to make sure that we review our policies on a regular basis and that we're operating within those policies. So that's the personnel committee report. And then we'll now talk about the terms of call.
And I will step out. I will.
Don't go far.
I won't go too far. I'll be in W4.
Okay.
But I'll ask you to moderate this portion of the meeting for me.
All right. So each year at this annual meeting, we renew, or choose not to renew, as the case may be, the relationship between us as a congregation and our pastor as a teaching elder for the congregation. And part of that is also addressing the financial terms of the call. One thing that I feel, both from observing the congregation's reaction and also talking to Nathan, is that we have a good and comfortable relationship. But now's the time maybe to, if anyone has any other feelings about that. But one sign I think of a comfortable relationship is that the pastor, in planning the worship service on the day of the annual meeting, introduces two new songs. I mean, how often do we have to do that? I mean, so that's obviously a sign that we're comfortable with each other. The terms of call are on, what page is it? Page 31. I'll talk through those. Basically, it represents a 3% compensation increase from year to year. And along with that is the we pay the full amount of the medical, pension, disability, and death coverage under the Board of Pensions, which is actually 37% of the Nathan's compensation. So while the total is for 2020 is $95,000 of that is for medical and pension costs. We also include paid vacation of 4 weeks, continuing education leave of 2 weeks, and then study leave and other professional expenses for books, et cetera, and then also for his auto expenses. So I would ask for a motion. I lost it. I'd ask for a, I'm on Amazon all of a sudden. I would ask for a motion to approve the terms of call. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the terms of call, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion passes, and if someone would go track down Nathan, we can proceed with the next item on the docket. I need to tell you, Nathan, this was by far the closest unanimous vote we have ever had.
Thank you all. This is, it's always a joy and a privilege, at least always a privilege, usually a joy, to serve as pastor here. Thank you, thank you. part of the privilege that we share together is that we follow each other from the beginning of life all the way through to the end of this life. And so part of what we do in the annual meeting is to remember those who have passed away in the previous year. And so we rejoice in the blessings of life with these saints who have died in 2019, and we celebrate the promise that they remain part of the church triumphant. And so as we gather here today, we are gathered in joy with Dot North, with Dale Richardson, with Jim Hughes, with Judy Telford, with Beth Miller. Will you pray with me? God of life, we praise you for the lives of these saints and others who have departed from us and live now forever with you. Give comfort to those who mourn and bless the memories of these beloved ones. Hold us and all your church in the faith they taught us, in the hope of the resurrection, and in the love of Christ in whom we pray. Amen. It is time, if you are so willing, to adjourn and move on to lunch. So I would welcome a motion to adjourn this meeting. So I heard it moved and seconded. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no. We will adjourn with prayer and the singing of our sending song. So please allow this prayer also to bless the meal that we will share this morning. Please stand. Loving God, your love for the world calls us to be your church. Thank you for the life and the mission of Covenant Presbyterian Church. Bless and direct the work we commit to you today. Fill us with your joy as we lift one another, and let your love overflow as we bless our neighbors near and far. Make our life together a reflection of your purpose for all the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.